on a Tuesday. Welcome into Studio 2. I'm Cherry Gregg. And I'm sitting next to my co-host, Avi Wolfman-Arendt. But apparently, he is seeking some outer excellence. Avi, what are you doing right now?
I'm sorry, Cherry. Did we start the show?
We started the show.
Oh, gosh. I got lost in this book I was reading. It's called Outer Excellence.
I see that.
It's a book that I turn to for counsel when I'm, you know, because doing a live radio show is very stressful.
It can be.
And I just, you know, there's some real chestnuts of wisdom in this book, Outer Excellence.
Chestnuts, okay. But this is actually very familiar. It seems and feels very familiar to some recent headlines.
Yes.
So explain.
All right. Just our little gag. So if you watch the Eagles game on Sunday, they won, by the way. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
And at one point during the game, they're showing the sideline, and star Eagles receiver A.J. Brown is reading a book called Inner Excellence. Just sitting there reading a book. Paperback, by the way. The real thing, not a Kindle. Had his highlights in there and everything. And he said after the game he reads this book frequently because he enjoys the messages contained within in it. It sort of helps him maintain a calm within the storm.
Like meditation.
Reading a book on the sidelines.
Wow. I got to give him credit. I don't know if I would be able to focus given all that's going on, but that just goes to show he's able to.
I can't read when there's music in the background.
Yeah,
I mean, imagine in a stadium with 60,000 screaming people. Mm-hmm. Good for him.
All right. Keeping his mind steady and at peace so they can get that W. Go Birds. I love it.
And can I just say, I love quirky athletes.
You
like, that's the fun side of sports to me. Just like, I mean, obviously there's lines that shouldn't be crossed, but I just love athletes who are just a little bit different. It just adds a flavor, you know, because it can get
a
little boring.
Peels back the layers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just adds something more than what's on the field.
Well, I'm sure.
Shout out A.J. Brown.
Shout out to the Eagles, too, for that big win. By the way, I'm sure some folks were looking for some inner and some outer excellence and some meditation over the weekend because some big news dropped.
The topic of sports.
Yeah, which we're doing the show about.
We are. This is all about the Sixers arena drama.
Mm-hmm.
Acronym SAD.
I like how you did that.
As you might have heard, the Sixers, after many years of trying to get an arena first at Penn's Landing and then in Market East, got the approval for all of that at Market East and said, we're going to stay in South Philly and we're going to build a new arena with Comcast. That will open in 2031, so we're told.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about this today. A huge, you know, unprecedented, I think, change of events.
Yeah.
The mayor herself called it a curveball that no one saw coming. We certainly didn't see it coming.
We were shocked.
We
had a little communication over the weekend. We're like,
there was pinging going on.
I know.
Slack and text and all that stuff. And probably in your group chats as well. So we want to know today, what do you make of the Sixers ditching their downtown arena plans to stay in South Philly? Give us a call, 888-477-9499. Email studio2 at whyy.org. Or if you're one of our studio tubers,
hi, tubers.
On YouTube, hello, tubers, just leave a comment right there on the stream. We'd love to hear from you. And we're going to talk all about it this hour. The comments predictably already pouring in.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing some of our callers. I love our callers. They always have these reasoned arguments and have a diversity of viewpoints. So looking forward to hearing from them. Now we have our trio of news stories.
Number one.
And number one, District Attorney Larry Krasner is expected to seek a third term in this year's election. But he has at least one challenger now. Former Philadelphia judge Patrick Dugan resigned last month amid rumors that he plans to run. And if you don't know who he is, he's been a longtime municipal court judge. He first got elected back in 2007. And he's expected to announce his candidacy today. That's according to a press release. He's supposed to do it at the headquarters for the Philadelphia Building and Construction Trades Council.
Ding, 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 ding,
and
ding,
that's
ding,
a pretty
ding,
big
ding,
deal
ding.
Because they're expected to back Dugan. And we know how hugely influential the unions can be. After all, the building trades also backed Jarrell Parker, and now she's our first woman mayor. So at this point, you know, Krasner hasn't said anything about Dugan, but this could be a formidable challenge.
Well, nor has he officially said that he's running for
that
the third
term. That
is
very true.
And this primary is coming up pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So it looks like there will be a challenger, typically, if you're challenging an incumbent in Philadelphia with low name recognition, which I have to say for Patrick Dugan is the case, it's a long shot.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But if you've got the backing of the major trades, you've always got a chance here
got
in Philadelphia because there's money, there's organizing power. So we'll see where this goes. You know, I would have thought Krasner was really more vulnerable last time when crime was really high.
We have record lowest homicides, number
so
of homicides
the
in
issues,
a decade.
He seems less vulnerable. That said, if he has a better funded, more organized challenger, then maybe he is more vulnerable this time. We'll see. But again, Krasner has not officially even said he's going for a third term.
And by the way, if you're wondering how Krasner did last term, he cruised into his second term in 2021 with a pretty wide margin of victory. And this all despite, as you mentioned, a record spike in homicides and gun crimes.
Story number two.
Mm-hmm.
Staying in the realm of politics somewhat, Pennsylvania's attorney general is objecting to real estate mogul Alan Dom in his attempt to acquire one of the buildings once owned by the University of the Arts. You'll remember the University of the Arts collapsed suddenly last June. Now its real estate properties, which are significant and all in Center City, are up for sale. Dom had bid on one of the buildings, which is right near Rittenhouse Square. I mean, a cherry location. I mean, this is right in the heart of the city. But what's interesting is that that building since 2018 has had a restrictive covenant on its use. It's supposed to be used for educational and exhibition purposes. And the Pennsylvania Attorney General looked at Dom's bid, $6.5 million, no joke of a bid, and basically said, I'm not sure this meets the criteria and that they should favor a bid from Temple, which was $6.2 million. So now that property up in the air, some big names fighting over basically the scraps of a once great institution.
Yeah, I remember that story. I mean, they closed within like 7 days or something from the announcement.
Less than that, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, I did not know that the Attorney General has oversight of charitable assets. That was something I learned in this story. And full disclosure, I am an adjunct assistant professor at Temple. So TU President Fry sent out a note to the community saying that if they are able to purchase Terra Hall and if it were able to go through, it would be the future home of Temple University Center City campus, which they have a building now at 1515 Market Street, but that lease will expire in a couple of years. So it would be the first time that Temple, if they were able to purchase this, would actually own property in Center City. Right now, all they've been doing is leasing.
Very hard to drive into Center City, but you were looking at some cool cars over the weekend, Cherry.
Let's
get to our third story here.
Well, the Philadelphia Auto Show kicked off this weekend. 22 car brands showed up, and they showed off their latest vehicles. Some standouts. I did. I went with the fam.
I am learning about you're a car show enthusiast.
I do. I know you're not a big fan.
No. No judgment at all.
But
I was just surprised.
I love to get in the cars, pretend like I'm driving it, you know, feel
Didn't you
seats.
Say you like the smell of the car show?
I do like smell of new car,
Oh, of new car, general.
Of new car, period.
Which a car show is full of that smell.
Yeah, and it's cool seeing all the people run around and just test out the... And then you can drive on a track or at least ride with someone driving the car on the track. So, but what stood out to me was Toyota had this little show and they were talking about their hydrogen vehicle.
Hydrogen?
I had never heard of this. It's called the Toyota Mirai and it is a 2024 car. It's a mid-sized vehicle. It combines hydrogen and oxygen from the air to power the vehicle.
Whoa.
Right now, California is the only place where you can get hydrogen fuel, but it has... You know, zero tailpipe emissions, only water. So pretty cool. But again, the hydrogen vehicle thing has been very questionable.
Can you drive?
It was pretty cool.
Were you able to drive that one?
No, I didn't get a chance to drive that. But it was pretty cool. But you can only really get it refueled.
Did you drive any of the cars?
I didn't, but I sat in quite a few.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I did. And by the way, I sat in a Tesla Cybertruck.
Oh.
Underwhelmed.
What?
Underwhelmed. It looks cool, but when you get inside, the seats are not very comfortable.
I might debate whether it looks cool, but even the inside.
It looks like a tank. It really does.
Yeah,
but
to me, that's not.
But a lot. Yeah. But the line to ride in one of those things was like 100 people long.
And you waited in it.
I did not. I just sat in to ride in one. I sat in one with somebody's kid.
And the inside is no great shakes. It's not fancy.
It wasn't fancy. It was just very basic.
Yeah.
And also the other thing that stood out, what I really wanted to see
watch
was
out.
The fancy
Elon's
cars.
Gonna tweet about you.
He might.
Bad talking that Cybertruck.
Hey, popping my collar. Hey, Elon. But no BMWs, no Mercedes, no Audis, no luxury cars were really there. So that was
really?
A thing. But there were some cool movie cars like the DeLorean from Back to the Future. Remember that?
Oh my God. Great Scott. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So your takeaway overall is the hydrogen car, though. That's your big takeaway.
That was my big takeaway. It's pretty cool, but we'll see what happens because it's not widely available.
Also, Cherry Gregg says the Cybertruck stinks. You heard it here first.
Oh, my
Clip
goodness.
That. Put it on social. Put it on social. She said it stinks, folks. All right. Speaking of stinky things, we're going to talk about the arena drama coming up on Studio 2. Stick with us. We will be right back.
We could all use a little help navigating the news these days. The Consider This podcast wants to give you a hand. 6 days a week, we'll help you make sense of the day's biggest news story and what it means for you in less than 15 minutes. Listen now to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
And welcome back into Studio 2. I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. News broke on Sunday that the Philadelphia 76ers will not move downtown and build an arena. It came as a shock for many, including city council members and even Mayor Parker. Here's what the mayor had to say at a press conference yesterday. Take a listen.
I'm prepared to meet this moment. Now, did I know? Was I at the meeting before the meeting to say that this negotiation was going to take place? Absolutely not. But guess what? I'm still the CEO of this city.
And with us right now to discuss what unfolded over the weekend and Monday during that press conference is Daniel Pearson, chief editorial writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Daniel, welcome to Studio 2.
Well, thanks for the promotion. I'm not the chief editor.
Oh, sorry. You're not.
But I'm
just chief in our hearts, Daniel. And by the way, Daniel was you were a supporter of the project as it unfolded broadly. We also have with us minority leader and Philadelphia City Council member at large, Kendra Brooks. She was one of five council members who voted against the downtown arena. Council member Brooks, welcome to Studio 2. Did we get your title right at least?
Yes. It's so long, but thank you so much for having me.
Yes,
and we want to invite you at home to join us. Our question to you is this. What do you make of the Sixers ditching their downtown arena plans to stay in South Philadelphia? You can call us. The number is 888-477-9499. You can also email studio2@whyy.org. And if you're watching on WHYY's YouTube live stream, you can leave your comment in the chat and you might just hear it on the radio.
Absolutely. So let's start with this comment from Ann in South Philly, who I think sums up how a lot of people are feeling. Ann says it just shows again how little respect big money has for the city. So, Daniel Pearson, you supported this project. I think a lot of the goals of this project really sort of jibes with the way that you want to see the city rebuilt and revitalized. Do you feel like you were played here? Do you feel like you were taken advantage of?
I don't think that I was played. I've wanted to have a big venue in Center City for a long time, even before the Sixers proposed their arena. I do think that we need something on Market Street that's going to bring in millions of people to visit it every single year. And I also don't think that the Sixers were insincere in their wish to build an arena on Market Street. I think some people out there have said to me, oh, well, it was just a negotiating ploy all along. I think that, you know, when you're in business, you always have to have multiple options. But I think their top option was Market Street. And I think if you look at David Adelman's face during that press conference.
One of the co-owners. Of the
yes,
Sixers,
he was also the main person pushing for this Market Street project. I didn't get the sense from David's comments or his demeanor that he was making the call to pull the plug on this. I got the strong sense that it was made above his.
Explain what that means. Above, because Mark says, was South Philly always the 76ers' first choice and this was all a ploy? What makes you believe that that's not the case, that this wasn't just all a leverage play?
Well, I think Brian Roberts, actually, who's the chairman and CEO of Comcast, kind of laid it out. He said the situation was unraveling, which means that he wasn't getting his way. So he decided to try harder. you know, what that means. He didn't exactly specify, but he left a big hint. I mean, if you grew up watching basketball, you remember the NBA on NBC.
Sure.
The Round Ball Rock theme song is... We could sing the whole song, so we're going to spare the audience. But, you know, that's where the NBA was. It moved to TNT. In the interim, Comcast bought NBC.
Yep.
The NBA is going to be going back to NBC, and they're going to be giving the NBA $2.5 billion every single year. So Adam Silver was also there.
Commissioner of the NBA.
Mm-hmm. You know, he also, his presence also kind of spelled it out. And also, I think you have to look at Josh Harris, who's the main owner of the Sixers. David Adelman is the local owner. He lives in this region. He was pushing the project locally. But Josh Harris is the main owner of the Sixers. He also owns the Commanders. And he's now he's got to be, you know, he just spent a lot of money to buy the Commanders.
Mm-hmm. Football team, yeah.
And then he's also building a Commanders stadium in D.C. A football stadium is almost always more expensive than a basketball arena. So he's spending a lot of money. He's probably feeling a little depleted. So my impression based on my conversations and watching the press conference is that Josh Harris made the decision, pulled the rug out almost from under David Adelman. Mm-hmm. and from the mayor too. I don't think it's great. I agree with Ann in South Philly. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's great that the CEO of Philadelphia is actually the CEO of Comcast, that you know even though you know the mayor,
you think they big time the Sixers here, bottom line.
Oh, 100% they sunned them. It was just like,
okay,
it reminds me actually of the mayor's race, how Alan Dom kind of sunned Jeff Brown a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Showed him who the real big dog is, who the real rich person is, and how much, you know, it's one thing to have money, it's one thing to have a lot more money.
Yeah. And I just want to be clear for our listeners, if this is the first time you're hearing about this deal, you don't know what transpired. The thing that Philadelphia is supposed to get is that the team is going to stay, mm-hmm, in the city of Philadelphia. You have the Sixers going to get a new stadium in South Philadelphia that they'll, mm-hmm, share with the Flyers. There's also going to be some kind of revitalization of Market East. And there's a coalition of folks who say that they're going to make a play for a WNBA team. Now, Councilmember Kendra Brooks, I know you were against the arena, but you sat on council. There were a number of hearings, a lot of resources dedicated to this. Your thoughts on this when you first found out about the switcheroo?
For me, as I said all along, that I didn't think this was a good plan for Philly. We spent 100 hours or more of council's time deliberating on a business deal that could have been handled between billionaires before it even came to us. The plan was half-baked. Every hearing, we still, to this day, have not got all the questions answered. And it moved through. And for me, you know, this shows the power of billionaires. Like, we, the Philadelphians, barely had a say in what happened. People told me that I was out of my mind and ridiculous to believe that anything other could happen. And for me, you know, yes, it's a win for, you know, the folks in Chinatown and Philadelphians that did not want this. But my big take is, I hope whatever happens moving forward, that all the promises that the billionaires made to the city still stand. If, yeah, we're supporting minority business and businesses within the stadium, that should still stand. If we're offering thousands of jobs to young Black men throughout this city, that should still stand. So for me, I want to know, like, if this is the narrative that we're taking, all of those talking points that we use city resources for 100 hours, still carry on into the next plan, because a city should not be at the whim of billionaires.
And let me just read this comment from Laura, who says, I believe there is a total lack of respect for the mayor and council. How did the deal get this far only to have it overturned without so much of a blink? The power lies somewhere else, and the mayor and council are pawns in this game. Did you feel that council was a pawn in this, Councilmember Brooks?
Well, I was already a no, so I,
yeah,
was already.
But your colleagues, 12 members of council, did you feel that way?
I mean, this clearly shows who runs the city.
Well, let me ask you, though, because you said the people didn't have a say. But the idea of this whole setup is that the people have a say through you and your colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
And the question, I think, moving forward, because we could talk about billionaires running the city, but you got to deal with these billionaires now on this project in South Philly and whatever they want to do in Market East. How will you all deal with them differently? And I get it. You're coming from the perspective of you were against it, but you got to talk to your colleagues about this. How will you deal with them differently to make sure that next time around commitments are kept?
I think that we have to have a clear plan for Market East, not just one half-baked idea that we have to sign off on.
We're forced to sort of accept.
Yeah, I think that we need to do some clear studies on what are the possibilities for Market East, include community participation around what should happen next in Market East, and that should be a part of the conversation for the billionaires. I'm not naive that it takes money for us to build and grow things.
Yeah.
However, the majority of the billionaires that work on this project do not live in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. They are not the lifeline of this city and will not be taking those jobs. They will be dictating what jobs are offered into the city. And until we create a clear plan that includes everyone, we're going to continue to be here. It's going to be another half-baked effort around what's going to happen at Market East. It's going to be shoved down our throat again by the next group of billionaires or the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to just ask the question for you all at home. I want to invite you into the conversation. What do you make of the Sixers ditching their downtown arena plans to stay in South Philadelphia? The number is 888-477-9499. You can email studio2@whyy.org. And if you're watching on WHYY's YouTube live stream, leave your comment in the chat. I want to bring in Patricia from Riverton, New Jersey. Patricia, you're on Studio 2. What's your question or comment?
Hi, yes. As a local architect, and I work in the city, I am overjoyed that they're not going to be putting the arena so close to City Hall and then really ruining the fabric of the Chinatown area. It would have just been too large a scale for that particular area, and it's perfect right where they're going to keep it, where all the other arenas are. I think it would have caused congestion in the city. I don't think things were really very well planned in terms of, you know, how were people really going to park? You know, you see those stadiums down there in South Philly, and there's a lot of parking. There's a lot of partying that goes on before and after games and tailgating. It's the right spot. So I just wanted to tell you I'm so overjoyed, and I hope things stay like this with not bringing that arena to downtown Philly.
Thank you, Patricia,
from Riverton, New Jersey. But I want to give you a chance to respond to that, Daniel Pearson, because at this point, I guess it's a moot argument, right? Mm-hmm. But we still have to grapple with this idea of what the sports complex is. And I think for people who don't like the sports complex, they see it as a monument to a cynical style of city planning, where you basically take things that are in the city and build them for the amusement and the convenience of people who are using cars and who are not from the city of Philadelphia. Because the way a lot of people look at the sports complex is that's really what it is. And this idea that the Sixers had was, let's take one of those assets and move it back into a city. Make people who want to go see the Sixers or a concert actually interact with the city of Philadelphia while they wear Philadelphia across their chest. So do you think that idea still has currency moving forward? And do you like the sports complex as it is currently constructed?
I know a lot of people in this region love the sports complex. I think it's really ideal for the Eagles. I think it's probably the best setup for a football stadium you can have. But I don't think it's ideal for baseball and basketball specifically. I've always viewed the sports complex as kind of being like an all-inclusive resort, as opposed to staying, you know, going to Mexico City and staying in the heart of the city, experiencing Mexican culture firsthand. You're going to a resort where you're being given, you know, a small sampling of Mexican culture, primarily with other Americans. You know, you have people who are from Mexico waiting on you, but you probably aren't making many friends with people who live there or getting a true appreciation of what's going on. Also, your money is going, you know, almost entirely to the resort. Yeah. It's not being spread out to any of the other local businesses. So the sports complex to me functions like that. And that's why we built the Spectrum there in the first place, because the teams wanted to make sure that they were capturing the highest percentage of the dollars. You know, if a family's going to spend $500 going to a game, they want to get all 500 of those dollars. At a downtown arena, you're not going to be able to capture all those $500. For one, if you do decide to drive in, you know, the Sixers wouldn't own the parking, so it would go to somebody else. Somebody who is staying after the game to go out to drink, they might not rush to get that, like, last beer before they close down for the fourth quarter. They might say, hey, you know what? I can wait until the game's over, and then I'll go out with my friends. They might not buy any food there, because why would you buy arena food when you could go to Reading Terminal beforehand?
Now, all that said, it does seem like for probably at least the next 50 years, the sports complex is going to be where all the teams play.
It is a fact of life now.
So now what do you do moving forward? Because there's been years of talk of turning this into a real neighborhood with real businesses that would actually connect maybe to the Navy Yard, God forbid. I mean, do you think there's actually any hope of that moving forward, or is it going to be another, yeah, we thought about it, but we're not really going to build anything down here?
Ironically, the people who love the sports complex the most will be the most upset if they actually build something there.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to change your habits from parking in a lot to parking in a garage, which a lot of people do not like parking garages. You know, I always say if you're afraid of public transit, you probably are also afraid of a parking garage. It's a very similar type of dark, you know, scary environment. So I do think it's going to change. I think that the Sixers giving up on this plan is kind of a sign that there's going to be more money put into this plan. At the same time, I'm really skeptical because it's a very car-centric area. I live in South Philly, and if you're trying to go to FDR Park, which is the biggest green space in South Philadelphia, right, and you're trying to take SEPTA there, you have to cross like 8 lanes of Broad Street to get there. It's like Roosevelt Boulevard almost down there. And that's not going to change. They're talking about maybe building a sky bridge, but I can tell you sky bridges aren't for pedestrians. They're for the motorists. They're to get the pedestrians out of the motorists' way.
Yeah.
So until they are, you know, interested in really reimagining that, I doubt it.
Do you doubt it too, Councilmember Brooks, that they're actually serious about building this whole entertainment district down there? The mayor referenced Atlanta as a model. I mean, do you think that could really happen?
I mean, that's some of the plans that they were speaking of earlier in the negotiation was already set in play. I mean, there is some building happening at the Navy Yard with the hotel and a couple other things that are pending. I don't know how elaborate it will be because it's going to take time to kind of parse out a concept that broad. Anything is possible.
Yeah. I want to read an email from Frank who says, Mayor Parker referenced being thrown a curveball. City leaders were counting on a 3-0 fastball down the middle they could blast out of the park to save Market East. However, Josh Harris doesn't care about the sport. It's all about money and empire. I want to follow up with that and throw that to you as well, Daniel, because Market East has been a big focus. A lot of people, even, you know, folks who were sort of reluctant about bringing the Sixers downtown still wanted to see something happen with Market East. And it seems to me when I was watching that press conference that the Sixers and all the folks, they threw in revitalization of Market East as, to me, an afterthought. I don't know how you see it. Do you really think that there is a real commitment to invest in this area from the team, from the NBA, from Comcast, to really see something happen there?
I mean, in reality, the investments have already been made. If we follow who owns the land, there has to be some level of commitment about what happens in Market East. I think that we, as a city, have to continue to push for a clear decision on what's going to happen, whether it's housing, whether it's mixed use, whether it's some level of entertainment. It doesn't have to be a stadium. Everyone doesn't do sports. I think there are opportunities for us to increase our tourism and have activities and things available for conferences in Center City. And I think that, you know, those guys can figure it out, whether it's Comcast, whether it's the Sixers and the city collectively coming up with a plan. Something has to happen.
But they could, as private business owners owning land, private land, or you could just sit on it. You don't have to do anything just because you own property. And that's how much trust do you think there is that they will actually carry through?
I hope that a part of whatever negotiations that are happening, it would be for them to be a part of a clear plan for Market East.
Yeah.
I think too often as a city, we're negotiating with our hands behind our back when everyone else is moving forward. You know, we're kind of left in the wind. And I think part of whatever negotiation happens is that, you know, the powers that be that own the property and the land have a commitment to revitalize Market East. And I think that's what we have to push for. Yeah. I don't know whether to believe him a lot or not. Like, we just saw what could happen when we put our trust.
Yeah.
Yeah. And expanding that to the WNBA team, Avi and I are big WNBA women's basketball fans. Yes. That part, I think, was thrown in to sort of sweeten the deal. Daniel, do you think that'll actually happen?
You know, if Adam Silver is going to intervene in Philadelphia politics and overrule the mayor and city council, the least he can do is tell the WNBA that it's a team. I think that had better happen. Philadelphia already has a bone to pick with Adam Silver. If you're a Sixers fan,
we don't get all that.
You remember the Colangelos, yes, and the burner phones.
Yes.
So I already think he's already meddled with our basketball team too many times.
Yes.
Now he's meddling with our mayor, which you can disagree with her, but she's the mayor. I think it was very disrespectful what he did to her. I know that she has decided to become the bigger person, and she almost doesn't have a choice but to be the bigger person about it. But I think it was very disrespectful what he did to her, to kind of, like, you know, go in like that. I'm very skeptical about this idea that Comcast is going to invest in Market Street, though. The Sixers already have, because they purchased property there, but they could also sit on it. The problem on Market Street is demand. You know, it's you can't just say
no one wants to be there.
Yes. You can't just put up an apartment complex and say it's going to fill up. People have to want to live in that location. And people would rather live in other places than Market East right now.
Let me bring in a couple comments here. First of all, just say JS on YouTube says, City got bamboozled by Josh Harris. Simple enough. Mm-hmm. Rocco from Philly says, I remember not long ago many of the same Chinatown groups that opposed the arena also opposed the rail park due to parking and gentrification concerns. The future of Philadelphia cannot be built around cars. And Rocco goes on from there. So a lot of folks did have their hopes around this project of sort of seeing it as the future of a more transit-oriented city. That said, let's bring in another perspective now. This is Rich from Center City, who I think has a little bit of a quibble with that. Rich, you're on Studio 2. What's your question or comment?
Hi. Thank you so much to unpack here, and I was told to keep it to 30 seconds. I think the problem with a Center City sports venue, the same problem we have with the convention center. It takes up a tremendous amount of space, and it's not something that's utilized 100% of the time.
Right.
In order to revitalize Market Street East, we need a combination of residential, restaurants, and retail so that there's a reason to be there and a population density.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily agree that we can't get people to live there if we have the amenities in place. At the same time, we're building apartment complexes.
Well, I guess the question now, Rich, and thanks for that comment, is who's going to build those amenities? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the big question moving forward. But just pivoting real quick, council member, because we are wrapping up this segment. Now there's going to be something built, we think, in South Philadelphia, a new arena, maybe more. As those negotiations play out, like, what are your red lines where you say, I can't support a project if it does this? Maybe that's city or state money. Maybe that's something else I'm not thinking of. Like, what are the things that when you this gets in front of you, you'll say, I can't support this type of development down there?
I think for me, I want to hold true that the plan that was put forth before the community around jobs, particularly for Black and brown minority folks in the city, opportunities for entrepreneurship, for small businesses in the community, any project that happens needs to still have that promise. I mean, I think that's the bare minimum. Like, people were touted through City Hall for this project with promises and guarantee for over 100 hours.
Yeah.
We need to still make sure that the folks that were in support of this project walk away with something.
Yeah. And that sort of, and I want to play a quick clip from the mayor who was talking about looking to the future. Take a listen.
I can't, think about what's behind me. This is what I can tell you about looking forward. Because again, as you heard me state, I don't have the luxury allowing my pride, ego, and emotions to allow me to waddle in this moment.
And similar email from Buck, who says, after all the emotional and political capital that was expended on this issue, I feel a bit of whiplash on the abrupt about face. And so my question to you is, what do they need to do to sort of rebuild that trust with the city? Because they're going to need to go through city council to get anything built, to get things moving forward in South Philadelphia. What would you like to see them do? And you mentioned that some of that CBA stuff, like, hold true. How do they repair that relationship? Because a lot of folks just don't trust them anymore. And Daniel, and then Kendra, what do you think?
I agree 100% with Kendra that they need to hold true to all the promises that they made to people like my friend Carl Day, who supported this project to help young black men in Philadelphia primarily. You know, I think they need to hold true to all of that. I also think that they need to make a major investment in Market Street. And I'm not saying that, you know, what I mean is that the mid-rise housing that they proposed, like, that's great. I want something a lot more. I want something. If I live in South Philadelphia, there's a big project at Broad and Washington right now. It's absolutely gorgeous. There's a brand new Giant, completely pristine, nicest grocery store in South Philly, in my estimation, at the already.
Oh, is it really? I have to check it out.
Yeah, you should. Okay. You should. You're not that far. So it's I think it's a great project. I want something like that on Market Street with some real ambition.
You're saying think big.
Yeah, the housing that they proposed before, it was not enough. And I love to see affordable housing. I want big more than anything else.
Can I add on to this though? Because we're talking about not trusting the Sixers. But should we trust Comcast? I mean, they went behind everyone's back and negotiated a deal. And now they're very much in charge of everything moving forward, it seems. Like, I don't know, Councilmember Brooks, should we, could we trust Comcast?
I mean, this is politics. I think trust is a very strong word that we're using here. I think we need to hold people accountable and not sign off on anything that's not a clear plan. I think we allowed them to give us a blank plan with questions still not answered, and we agree, and just gave it to them. And I think moving forward, we need clear plans where our questions are answered. The CBA and all these agreements are already in place before it even comes to a vote. So we won't get stuck in this predicament again.
Is that the lesson for this?
For
is that the lesson for the city?
For the city as a whole, that this is, it's all politics. It's all a game. Someone's going to win and someone's going to lose. We have to make sure that the city and Philadelphians aren't losing.
You're nodding along there, Daniel Pearson.
If you're a Wu-Tang fan, you know cash rules everything around me.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia, you got to replace that with Comcast rules everything around me. I've been saying that cream. I
just want to note, as we wrap up, we did reach out to Comcast and the Sixers, and they were all invited to be on this show. They didn't have time for us today, but thank you.
Look, I'm probably their least favorite journalist in Philadelphia right now. But at the same time, look, I appreciate that Comcast didn't abandon the city, that they kept their headquarters there, but I don't think that they should be bigfooting everybody else around.
And that was Daniel Pearson, editorial writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Thank you so much for your time. Also, thank you, Kendra Brooks, minority leader in Philadelphia City Council member at large. It's been a pleasure to have both of you. Much more to come after the break on Studio 2.
Thanks for
Stick with
here.
Us.
Welcome back to Studio 2. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt. We are talking about that abandoned plan for an arena at Market East. On top of the surprise announcement from the Sixers, we recently learned that Macy's will be leaving the historic Wanamaker building in March. Smaller retailers up and down this section of Market Street, including many in the Fashion District, have closed. The corridor is very simply not the commercial success many hoped it would be.
Arena or not, Market East needs a future. So joining us for the rest of the hour is Catherine Ott Lovell. She is the president and CEO of the Philadelphia Visitor Center. Catherine, welcome to Studio 2.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks for having me.
We're so happy to have you, and we want to invite you folks listening and watching on YouTube to comment. If you're a Studio Tuber, just leave a comment right there in the thread. You can give us a call, 888-477-9499. You can also email studio2@whyy.org.
And Catherine, I know you have memories of Market East in its heyday. I want to get your thoughts. When you heard that there was going to be an arena, some development in Market East, what were your thoughts? And then sort of the fact that these plans kind of blew up, your reaction?
Yeah, so I've been at the visitor center for about a little over a year. And so our flagship visitor center is at 6th and Market. And, you know, there's no doubt that over the last year, it's really obvious, especially to a newcomer, what the level of development that's really needed from here to City Hall. I'm not a huge sports fan, so I'm not like, you know, this was never about an arena or not. For me, it was really about the development and the investment that's needed in Market East, and also the sense of urgency, right? Mm-hmm. The sense of urgency that's been created over the last 2 years, right, because of the need to get this done, get the legislation passed, I think has been welcome, right? Because I don't know if we've had that same sense of urgency over the past decade or so with Market East.
So there was some excitement there that something was going to happen.
I think, you know, for me, it didn't feel like I'm a fourth generation Philadelphian. I've lived here all my life. It didn't feel like another investment of this magnitude was going to happen in my lifetime.
Wow. Well, Mayor Sherelle Parker clearly felt similarly, was invested in this plan and talked a lot about Market East. And she was still talking about Market East yesterday during that press conference, that sort of post-mortem press conference. So here is Mayor Parker talking about the history of the corridor. Let's play the clip.
For those of you who are lifelong like me, you remember Wanamaker's? You remember Strawbridges? You may remember Lit Brothers. You may remember Gimbel's. You may remember JCPenney's. And if you're like me, it was a big deal to go get a hot dog at Woolworths and sit at the counter. We are long past those moments. Here we have an opportunity to build in another era.
Another era. Yeah. So then you heard the mayor there talking about the past. This used to be the center of commerce in many ways in Center City, Market East. I want to get your sense of, I guess, how dire the situation really is. Like, give people who don't walk this corridor, mm-hmm. who are not in this neighborhood every day, what your impression of the corridor is right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, first, let's go back to what she said. Everything she mentioned, first of all, I mean, we have a mayor who bleeds Philadelphia, right? Yeah. Like, she, you know, she is someone who, you know, is, you know, was born here, raised here, and everything she talked about, 100% valid, but all retail, right? Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Like, this was a retail mecca, right? Mm-hmm. And so many of our commercial corridors were, you know, they existed because of retail, and they thrived because of retail. And even the most recent investments that have happened on Market East, it's the Fashion District, right?
Yeah. And still retail.
Yeah. So, you know, Gimbel's, Litz, Strawbridge's, Macy's, the Fashion District, like, what's the common denominator here, right? Mm-hmm. Retail has changed fundamentally, right? And I think this, we really have to recognize that that is probably not going to save Market Street, right?
You're alluding to the fact that there's online shopping now.
Absolutely.
Just retail business
has changed.
Retail
has completely changed. And there's still a purpose for retail. I love going to a store to shop, but it's not going to help or make a commercial corridor thrive in the way that it did 20, 30 years ago. You know, it is, it's a pretty tough situation right now on Market East, right? It is sort of a ghost of its former self, right? And, you know, but that said, it's not all, you know, I mean, Market East has struggled for decades. I you know, was reflecting on this over the last, you know, 36 hours. When I was 5 years old, my dad would take us down to the light show, and we were walking down Market Street, and he was held up at knife point with me holding his hand at 5 years old. It's like one of those core horrific memories you have in your childhood. That was 1980, right? And so Market East, I think it's ebbed and flowed, right, in my lifetime, right? It's gotten good. It's gotten bad. And right now, we're not putting our best foot forward there. You know, it needs investment. It needs basic quality of life investments, as well as, you know, significant financial investments.
And you talk about that. If you were in charge, what would do you think it really would take?
I mean, it takes money. It takes massive amounts of resources. Yeah. And, you know, and it takes partners. I think it takes real civic investment, but also private sector investment. Right. And it's going to take some risk. right? And I think we saw that with the with the Fashion District, right? That was a big, bold move, by the folks that own the gallery. I remember the gallery well. You know, this was a big, bold move. We were all really excited about it. I still think the Fashion District is pretty amazing, but it's not obviously not the answer there because it is struggling so bad. Sure. That said, there's other assets along Market Street that do thrive. The Convention Center, right? Mm-hmm. Reading Terminal Market is there, right? We've got hotels that are there, but it's really it's really those quality of life issues, I think, and those empty storefronts that really plague the Market Street experience.
Email from Patrick, who says, now that the billionaires have played their power game, leaving the mayor and a majority of council red-faced, perhaps we as taxpaying Philadelphians should demand that our leadership leads for its citizens and lets the Planning Commission do their job and thoughtfully plan the future of Market Street. I've heard that sentiment a lot. There needs to be a plan, a coordinated plan. Do you have an idea of what a plan like that might look like? And does that become something that becomes a magnet for an investment? Or is it could also just be a waste of time because you can plan something and every business person looks at the plan and goes, nah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not a process-driven person. I'm not a planner, but I have seen, more than seen, the value of plans and the tremendous impact that they can have if they're implemented, right? Absolutely. I think we need a plan. I think we need an equitable plan. This is about equitable development on Market Street. This is about development that doesn't just benefit the private sector, but benefits the local residents and benefits the tourism sector as well, right? Tourism and hospitality. So everybody needs to come to the table. We need, really smart thought leaders who can help us think about what the future could be for Market Street. We have done this before successfully. Look at the plan for the Central Delaware, right? Think about the Schuylkill Trail. Think about the Schuylkill River and the Delaware. Think about our rivers and think about 20 years ago.
A lot of people point to South Broad Street too.
South and North Broad, right? So we've had plans that have been really successful that have been implemented. We've had public space plans that have been successful and have been implemented. There's precedent for this. This is, this is not something that is impossible, but you're right that if the plan doesn't have the investment behind it, right, then it's just a plan that sits on a shelf. So I think there's a way to do this.
Yeah, I want to bring in a caller. We have David from Lansdowne who has some ideas. David, you're on Studio 2. Want to hear it? Lay it out for us.
Save Market East, David.
Here we go. Well, I was thinking, like, instead, unless you're looking for serious tax revenues, like some high rise or some major business venture, like make it into like a little Paris neighborhood, and I'm talking affordable, moderate income homes of a variety with courtyards and shops on the first floor and widespread, and maybe a park here. Something like that, and enough businesses on the first floors. But some sort of just like a nice little community plan for some moderate income housing, I think it'd be a nice addition. And then these people would have to go out every day and buy their lunch, dinner, groceries, and whatnot.
And you would create a little bit of an economy there, yeah.
And a nice neighborhood.
Thanks, that's David from Lansdowne. I have a quick follow-up because there's a lot of things going on. We noticed they have things going on the waterfront. There's a new cap that's coming. Parks being developed near Penn's Landing. All of these things. Is there anything that's, and all of that is very near and around the Market East
area. It's all connected, right?
And so it seems to me that this is prime time to sort of, add to that with Market East. Do we have the political, I guess, wherewithal and the political muscle and attention to get this done right now?
So you're spot on, right? When you think about the connections and the opportunities that are already happening, this massive development on the Delaware waterfront with the cap, right? A beautiful new public space that's finally going to reconnect our waterfront to our center city. Just announced today, and I was reading today on Billy Penn, this massive RAISE grant that that came out for the Benjamin Franklin Parkway, right? $23 million that's going to be invested into the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. We've had massive investments in and around City Hall. Remember Dilworth Park? That didn't exist, right? Ten years ago. Yeah. And look how that has transformed our city. So think about the connections that are possible using those anchors, right? And Market East really being just, a missing link, right, between all of those anchors. The waterfront, the historic district, City Hall, the parkway, right? Yeah. If this were a European city, we would figure this stuff out, right?
It's the hole in the donut, I've heard people say.
It is. Yeah. And we really need to think about how we leverage leverage it. I think that's what's missing here is we had a point of leverage among around the arena conversation, and that point of leverage gave us that sense of urgency. And that's my biggest fear here,
that it's
is that we
now.
Don't have the leverage.
Real quick, we're coming up on the end of the show, but like you said, we cannot, you know, hedge the future on retail. So what is the thing, or what is the group of things that should ideally populate this corridor moving forward? Is
it anchor,
small scale housing? Is it big scale housing? What is it?
I think it's experiences. I think it's entertainment. I think it's experiences, right? People want those tangible experiences. People are willing to put out money for experiences. That might be a sporting event. That might be a concert, or it might be something else, right? Mm-hmm. I really think it's people want that moment. They want that unique moment. That's visitors and residents alike. I think it's certainly food, right? So food, entertainment, experiences, I think, is the future. I don't think it's retail.
And I wonder if, to the extent we do get a WNBA team, whether there could be a smaller little arena for the ladies to play basketball.
Right, that would be amazing.
Right there. It wouldn't be as bad as a huge arena, but yeah.
Well, look, we have to close the conversation. We could continue for many more hours talking about this, but as you said, Catherine Ott Lovell, that big leverage point is gone. And the question now is, how do you create momentum moving forward? And we will watch as that momentum hopefully materializes. Again, Catherine Ott Lovell, President and CEO of the Philadelphia Visitor Center. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. And thank you to our producers. Second week of being on YouTube. We're kicking off the second week. Studio 2 is produced by Debbie Builder, Paige Murray Besser, and Andreas Copes. Thanks to Mike Schiffler, our visual producer, Al Banks, and Paul Parmalee engineered today's show. Our executive producer is Kevin McCrory from Studio 2 at WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you tomorrow.